Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
An all-timer at Flippin' Fields has passed. And he does not get the courtesy of 2024. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. O.J. Simpson has died. Big C. Now, I don't say that flippantly because there were humans still walking around Earth. Like today, they're still with us who loved him, and they lost someone of a connection. My best friend, my dad, my whomever. And for those people, my condolences, and I mean that. As far as O.J. Simpson himself, Orenthal going room temperature, it happens. When I say that he was an all-timer at Flipping Fields and he does not get the courtesy of 2024, there's a lot there and it is all connected. I don't think that there is much recognition of like the short list sort of stuff O.J. Simpson did as a running back. And I'll talk about some of that in a minute. But when I say all-timer at Flipping Fields, I was about to say carrying the rock. I wasn't thinking of my language, and it just kind of came out, and I was like, no, wait a minute, backspace. I was like, O.J. Simpson, I'm lucky enough that I got to see him a little bit, including one game that just was, I want to say just pure luck, happenstance, whatever, but it worked out. I got to see O.J. play a little bit towards the end of his career. But rest assured, if you're younger than 50, most of what you know about him is a little bit in movies, some in commercials, obviously his trial. There was an O.J. Simpson before that, and Flippin' Fields is what he did. He was not a guy who was going to carry the rock. That really wasn't it. O.J. Simpson was one of those, like, if maybe more modern day, I'll skip ahead. There was about a decade later a guy named Tony Dorsett. About a decade after that, there was a guy named Barry Sanders. About a decade after that, Chris Johnson. Like, are you, y'all remember, if you play Tecmo Bowl, there was a guy named Bo Jackson. Folks, that's what O.J. Simpson did in the NFL. He had a 2,000-yard rushing season. Well, I've seen that some. Is it that impressive? He did it in 14 games for a horrible team. Horrible team. Go look at the quarterback, Joe Ferguson, in 1973, the Buffalo quarterback when O.J. went for 2,000 yards in 14 games. Go look at the season Joe Ferguson, product of Arkansas. Look at this, the passing game they had there in Buffalo, and then O.J. went for $2,000. Before that, he'd won a Heisman at Southern Cal. He'd gone to, I think, was it City College of San Francisco? It wasn't the Dons, but it was the JUCO up there, the community college, the city college. And then he transferred to Southern Cal, and O.J., when I say he was about breakaway runs in the way that a Chris Johnson, I know what you're talking about, Chuck. He was a guy that when he would get to the open field, which to O.J. was like just past the line of scrimmage, if he had space against a linebacker, it was over. Like he was too good for that. And he won a Heisman and in large part had a giant game and a giant run against UCLA that I think is kind of famous. If you see O.J. Simpson college highlights, you're going to see the UCLA game and the UCLA run, and then he's a Heisman Trophy winner, and then he goes to the AFL, and I think it was Lou Saban was the coach in Buffalo, and didn't you know how to use him or want to use him or something? So it was a couple of years where nothing happened, and then everything started happening for O.J. Simpson, and he became the exact same kind of running back in the NFL that he had been in college. breakaway, flip the field, run away from you. If he got it through the first four guys, done. And then Thanksgiving Day 1976 happened. And I was, I don't know, what would I, eight? And because it's Thanksgiving, I don't know, we're home that day. And the relatives from about an hour away, they would always come to our house, and they were football fans. So football was on. And so little second grade Chuck is there watching Thanksgiving, and OJ goes for 275 yards against the Detroit Lions, including one run where he's coming near sideline and tries to put on the brakes. He slides, hits on his left hip about 5 yards, pops up, keeps running back across the field. It's just an unbelievable highlight day on Thanksgiving 1976. And then a few years later, he got traded back to his hometown of San Francisco, played a couple of years for the Niners, and retired, and then he became a media guy. Then he murdered two people. Now, I think I have to say, in my mind or my opinion or allegedly, or because he was found civilly liable for the deaths of two people, and I don't think he ever paid for them. So I'm going to say, folks, he murdered two folks. He murdered two people. He murdered the server. He murdered the mother of, I believe they have two kids together. And we found out later that OJ was just generally an awful person in a lot of ways. And here is the big juxtaposition. In, I don't know, 1995? 2005, maybe? We would have had a couple of different responses to this. He was a sports star. And so, in a lot of cases, if we found out about the warts, like Mickey Mantle, we found out all about the warts, he would be on David Letterman telling these stories about awful behavior, and it would bring down the house with laughter. It's the kind of thing you look at now and go, yeah, we probably wouldn't react that way. A lot of times, it was just ignored. Well, he was a sports star. Or there were times like Pete Rose, you bet on baseball? We would actually call the person out. I don't know what happened. But at some point over time, sports stars that, like, clearly there's an issue there. We started using some phrases to dance around the fact that I've cheered for this person maybe hundreds of times in my life. And now that we know more about him, that's a little tough. So we don't backtrack all the way. We just start using some phrases. Chuck, what are you talking about? The phrases that are part of the courtesy of modern day commentary, in particular about sports stars, problematic or complicated. I will give you an example. I collect baseball cards, memorabilia, all kinds of things. And I have a few Ty Cobb cards, like the tobacco stuff from back in 1909, 10, and 11. Ty Cobb, at some point, they were still wildly popular, and you can sell them and make a profit and everything else. Ty Cobb, at some point, haven't we used that phrase? His legacy is complicated. Ty Cobb basically hated black people. And instead of saying that, we're like, it's complicated. There's a Ty Cobb museum that people go to and pay money to walk through every day. Guy was a big, giant racist. It's complicated. Like, we use that phrase now. Do you know the other phrase? Problematic. I grew up watching wrestling, all right? It was Georgia Championship Wrestling. I thought Gordon Solie was mine. Apparently, Ted Turner would fly him up from Tampa every week, and he'd tape a couple of Georgia Championship Wrestlings, then go back home to Tampa. Oh, man, and a yard wide. I didn't even know what that meant. But Harley Race apparently was all man and a yard wide. So I would watch Georgia Championship Wrestling. Do y'all remember a character, Kamala the Ugandan Giant? Birthplace, Senatobia, Mississippi. Kamala the Ugandan Giant. When it would come time to book people for like the wrestling version of Comic-Con or whatever, hey, is Kamala going to be here? His character is problematic. It's problematic because the way they would dress him and paint him up, and they may have handed him a spear or something. It's a guy from Mississippi. So Kamala, his character is problematic. We've started using phrases and terms to describe a somewhat famous celebrity, whatever, of days past who we now have a different perspective on. Yet none of that has ever applied to O.J. Simpson, and I'm happy about it. O.J. Simpson, like everybody knew. It's like he got away with murder because it was like if you a very special legal drama coming to NBC this fall, and there was like a 6-part miniseries. It was such a comedy routine from the prosecution that it should have been a scripted drama where somebody says, "Now we got some rewrites. We got to pull back on some of this." You're going to give him a glove that you already know is too small? You're really going to do that? Wait a minute. You're going to have a defendant give you 4 different excuses, say, at the exact same time, while he was allegedly committing 2 murders, he's going to say on the record that at the same time he was sleeping, taking a shower, chipping golf balls, and at McDonald's, and you can't get a prosecute that? So it would seem as if this was all comedy. It wasn't. He got the not guilty, and he went on, and then they found him guilty, or excuse me, liable in civil court, and my understanding was never paid. We all caught on like 30 years ago about O.J., and I am happy that it never wavered from that. He was never, well, he's problematic. Are you going to have O.J. here to sign autographs? Complicated. It's not complicated. After the robbery, which, but by the way, that was a makeup call. That was football. That was a makeup call. After the robbery in Vegas, and he actually does do time in prison, everybody, again, it just, there was this generally accepted view of that we're not going to call out celebrities at the absolute bottom line. And I'm talking about deceased people. People that we can't force into a Twitter apology. Like, I don't know, Justin Timberlake said bad things about Britney Spears when they were both 19. We're aware that like a year ago he had to come out and apologize for that, right? No. I'm talking about deceased folks. Now that OJ is deceased, nah, it's not problematic. It's not complicated. They had, in large part, I will say at least 51% of the not guilty. That an L.A. policeman named Mark Furman, who was just this blazing racist himself, and he was asked on the stand. If you don't remember this, this tipped the whole trial in my opinion. He was asked on the stand, "Have you ever used the N-word?" And he said, "No." What if someone says they heard you say that? That person would be lying. You've never used it? Never, ever. They put in a cassette tape of him doing an interview. It sounded like an NWA recording. And at that point, I was like, everything that guy said, and he was the one who went over the wall and he did all this. I was like, oh, that's going to no value anymore. Like, he blew the whole case. And so he got the not guilty there. I wish it was just about his game on Thanksgiving and the Heisman and everything else. But OJ just was such a consistently awful person, and how he would flaunt that he ain't paid the Goldmans or Browns a dollar, that no, he has never gotten the problematic or complicated courtesy that we seem to give to some guys. And now that he's passed, I don't think it's coming either. All right, we're going to break, come back, get into it next.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Thursday on the Chuck Oliver Show, we're talking college football. Bama's got a spring game Saturday. All right. Okay. We aware Malachi Moore still at Alabama? Okay. Like, does that seem possible? His buddy Brian Branch, we talked about him since they came in together. I think I've got this lined up correctly. And there was a little jockeying for that position a little earlier, and then position change and sort of role change, etc. And another one this year. They've got maybe a practice today or something today, and then the game on Saturday. So we will talk a lot about Alabama. I think we're going to have some Alabama conversation on this program at some point. It seems like a good way to go. Chuck Oliver Show continuing on a Thursday. And if you didn't see, we got yesterday a potential outcome from one transfer stud that we talked about on this show. Bear Alexander, I'll call him a transfer stud. If he was a five-star or high four-star defensive tackle, I guess originally out of Texas and then IMG-ish, that's a stud. And he plays at Georgia and, like, plays at Georgia as a freshman. Stud. Wins a natty. Stud. USC starts. Honorable mention all-conference. Well, that could mean a lot of things, but maybe he had some moments. He's a good ball player. He's this big, giant, burly defensive tackle with some eligibility left. Two years. We spoke earlier in the week, it might have been yesterday or Tuesday, that Bear Alexander was entering the portal again. And when I say again, he had only portaled once. He had been at Georgia for a season, for a year, and then he portaled and wound up at Southern Cal. Now, the bigger picture, while that's true, the bigger picture is he had portaled before, but we just didn't call it that in high school. We just said he left one place, went to another, including a freshman year at Terrell High School, and then a year at Ryan High School, and then on IMG Academy, then at Skyline High School, then at Georgia, then at USC. And when the story came out that Bear was going to enter the portal, immediately a lot of us made the math. That'll be seven schools in 7 years. And we did point out on Chuck Oliver's show, I was like, unless he's just going to stay, because a lot of times this is, I'm going to stay. Martinez, the running back from Oregon State, he's not staying. They don't have the money. Actually, they do have the money, but instead of spending $400,000 on the one running back, they're probably going to spend $400,000 in name, image, likeness money. They would spend that on like 15 players. Because remember, they don't play against Power 5 opponents anymore. So they don't really have to worry about having that caliber of athlete. You got to be realistic and bottom line about this. And I thought maybe Bear Alexander, potential transfer defensive tackle from USC, was being strategic about this. We said on this program, unless it's not seven schools in 7 years, unless he just stays at Southern Cal. Not only has Bear Alexander announced he is staying with the Trojans, he's shocked, I say, by all this speculation of him changing schools. Heath, shame on you. Quote, I'm not clear on all the noise or what any of this portal mess is about. He's not even sure about what this portal thing, like he saw it on the Diet Dr. Pepper commercial, but he's like, I'm not sure what this portal is. I'm at USC to finish what I started. Now, I'm going to interject, because that's what Bear Alexander does. I'm here to finish what I said. When I show up somewhere, and that's chasing a natty here at USC with my teammates. The reason I wanted to get here is his whole quote. I'm not crystal clear on all of the noise or what any of this portal mess is about. I'm here to finish what I started. That's chasing a natty here at USC with my teammates. I haven't seen a lot of indication, and I'm not going to speak on the kid's character. I haven't seen a lot of indication that being there for his teammates is really something that Bear Alexander is about. I haven't seen that. Maybe he has cried all the way to the train station every transfer. Maybe it's just been just awful. But he has persevered and made it through. When he says, hey, I'm blindsided by all this talk that I changed schools, I'm not clear what any of this portal mess is about. Heath, I'm sure that you be happy to know the Bears tally will be six schools in 7 years, assuming that nothing happens by like next Tuesday, because what I believe happened was he kind of popped up enough to get people's notice, and it was people at USC. He's like, oh, I was never going to leave, because like a 19-year-old who's being rumored he's in the portal. You know what? I had my phone off, and I didn't even look at my phone, because that's every 19-year-old on the planet, especially one high-profile like Bear Alexander. This was scripted, and I will give him credit. I did the same thing to Luther Burden at Missouri after his freshman year. Hey, are you staying? I don't know. The next day, he's like, I'm staying, and buy these potato chips.
Yeah, I guess it was better to do it this way than say, check cleared, y'all, and just leave it at that.
Yeah,
Bear was off his phone. You know, he's... There's parts of L.A. you don't get good signal. It happens. Sure. Okay. Hey, you know.
No bars.
The one thing is, look, it's kosher. And one thing about that place is that they've got the money. So
yep.
I don't know why, if it became necessary for him to try and do any kind of public shakedown to get the money, I don't know why it would have, because they've certainly got the money. That's no secret out there that they've got some boosters that are willing to dip into the pockets to do whatever they can to help out. But, yeah, look, Bear's there till he's not. That's the story for a lot of us in life. You know, I used to have people ask me about that in radio, about, Well, you going to be here? How long are you going to be here? Like, I'm here till I'm not. You know, it's not always up to you. In Bear's case, Bear's there till he's not. By any chance, Chuck, do you still follow Brian Harsin on social media? You keep an eye on the former Auburn coach at all?
We haven't touched base in a while now.
Brian Harsin is a little different than some coaches in that there's a lot of coaches that they have a social media account, but they are not the one running it. They only post
absolutely
things
true.
Like
yes.
graphics, retweeting recruits, that kind of thing. But they themselves, if you said, I'll give you a $1 million bonus to tell me what your password is, they'd be out of luck.
Oh, no. Somebody else takes a picture of them giving a thumbs up in front of the fireplace at the 17-year-old's house with yeah. mama, and then they move on.
But Brian Harsin apparently does not roll that way. Harsin is active on Twitter at Coach Harsin. He is not active in coaching, but he is active on Twitter at Coach Harsin. And yesterday, something happened that was kind of interesting. First, it began with an Auburn fan saying, quote, don't stare directly at the sun during an eclipse. Buddy, I've watched Auburn football the last 4 years. My eyes have seen way worse.
Snap.
So that's where it started. And then a couple of people responded, and someone saying and bringing up Brian Harsin and his image being burned into their retinas. And someone else said he's probably lifting weights right now. Now, I want to emphasize here, this was not someone who tagged Brian Harsin. This was just mentioning his name. And Brian Harsin responds with, there is no probably about it, with a picture of his weight room setup, apparently, that he's got wherever he is. And it's an impressive weight room setup.
Should
and,
be.
And good to Coach Harsin that he's getting swole. But first of all, the fact that he's bored enough that he is literally monitoring his own name on social media is one thing. But Chuck, in the background of the picture, there is a football field. And on that football field is painted a 60-yard line. I don't know. Even in Canadian football, it's a 55. There's not a 60. He's got a 60-yard line on this field. Is this visionary? Is this the future of college football? Does this explain why things didn't work out with Brian Harsin?
Okay.
I don't know, but the man has a football field with a 60 on it.
I have seen places where you don't have enough room for a full field, and so I have seen it numbered past 50 before, but only on a partial field. But that's been like on a college campus, like at a Division II place where you can only have a 60-yard field. You only have room or money, et cetera. I have no idea what that's doing in his backyard.
It's always college football.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
Time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Man, we got them a spring game on Saturday. And it's different. Different around there in a lot of ways. It's the same in that Malachi Moore is luggage. Like, he's there. But I don't think we will see, was it salmon? Was it pink? What was the sport coat? We won't see Nick Saban rocking the sport coat at the spring game. Because he is hands off. Like, it's like, I got nothing to do with spring game now. He really doesn't have anything to do with spring game now. Even when he was there, remember, he would say, not my thing. Everybody else is running this. Well, I wonder how that applies to Kalen DeBoer, because when you're a first year head coach, you don't have a resume with these people. And so the spring game may actually mean something. Whereas Nick Saban was like, nope, nothing to do with me. I don't think that's the case with Kalen DeBoer. I know somebody who we can find out from The Athletic. He covers Alabama. Kennington Smith III. Welcome back, friend. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right. Tell me your impression of Kalen DeBoer and how he views the spring game. Is it just business as usual, let's stay healthy, or does he think, I need to show these people a little bit of who I am?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. Obviously, you want to have a competitive game and you want to have everybody come out healthy. That's the goal. But it's hard not to recognize the opportunity that Kalen DeBoer has to showcase himself as a football coach, as far as what he puts out onto the field, but also his personality. This, at least in my estimation, has to be the most anticipated Bama spring game since Saban's first spring game. Maybe the Tua, Jalen Hurts post-championship spring game is comparable, but this has to be up there in top 3-5 spring games in terms of notoriety since the turn of the century at Alabama. So you think about the fact that it's going to be broadcasted on national television. You think about the fact that it's probably going to be close to, if not a sellout, inside of the stadium. There's an opportunity for Kalen DeBoer to take advantage of the momentum that's been created by this moment to showcase himself, to people in the state of Alabama, but also the nation at large. As you know, recruiting never stops. This is going to be a huge opportunity for him to showcase himself and showcase this kind of new era of the program to recruits, to donors, to fans. Obviously, NIL is a big part of this as well, getting people energized about donating to the program. So obviously you want to have a competitive product in the field and everybody wants to get off the field safely, but there is an element of wanting to impress given what the magnitude of this moment is.
All right, a little bit of continuing old business. I heard Jaden Roberts got hurt. I was like, that's not possible. He's the one that does the hurting. But he got banged up a little bit. How is he?
Yeah, he's fine. He got rolled up on his ankle. You know, that can happen to anybody. So he has been dressing out at practice. He's been limited in certain things. He's not participating in certain drills, watching. But he at least does have a uniform on, which is a good thing. So he'll be fine. I'm not sure if he's going to play on Saturday. It's kind of one of those things where you know he's going to be a starter on the offensive line.
Yeah.
There's not really a need for him to go out there and play. If he feels up to it, cool. Let him go out there for a few plays. But I wouldn't expect a heavy workload if he does, in fact, dress out on Saturday.
All right. Giad Campbell, do they have him in a plastic bubble? Like, there's no contact for him, right?
Yeah, none at all. He's in a non-contact jersey. So, again, somebody, you know, he's going to be a starter. This is a great opportunity for them to build depth behind their position. Last year, Bama utilized three inside linebackers a good amount. So it's kind of a competition to see who that third guy is going to be behind him and Deontay Lawson. So I would be surprised if I saw him with a heavy workload on Saturday as well, if he dresses out at all.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing. Kennington Smith III from The Athletic. He covers Alabama. We give you, I don't know, a few minutes with him. You can get this stuff every single day from him at The Athletic. It's what The Athletic does. All right, let's talk about the big story, because it's always quarterback. What, Jalen Milroe, new voice, new approach, new play sheet. What's the general feel about how Milroe is kind of fitting into this offense?
Yeah, well, it's pretty crazy when you think about what a difference a year makes. Last year, he was, you know, really embattled into a quarterback competition that went into the fall. And this spring, he's pretty much exclusively taken reps with the first team. There's obviously an adjustment period there, but from everything that we've gleaned and heard, he's done just fine under Kalen DeBoer. I think for him, getting his processing down a little bit, you know, last year holding the ball a little bit too long, getting the ball out quickly, being a little bit more decisive and confident is kind of what he's really working on most. And I think having a coaching staff that's offensive-minded and one that's really been all in on him from the start, I think is going to do wonders for him this fall. So they have a really strong quarterback room. Ty Simpson battled Milroe last year, and he's had a good spring. He had a really good second scrimmage. They got some young guys in the room as well that they're excited about. So Alabama's quarterback room's in a healthy spot. But, Kalen DeBoer said this himself. Jalen Milroe is headlining that room right now.
Wrapping up, Kenton Smith, he lives in a place with Dre Land and Milo's, but on Twitter, he is Skinny Kenny. All right, let's talk running backs, Jam Miller, Justice Haynes. I have in my mind, boy, they're thin on, you know, established running backs in Tuscaloosa this year. All right, what about the chance that they turn into a twosome like Mark Ingram and Trent Richardson, or not even have to be those two all-time greats, but like they are a legit two-headed sort of hammer into the line of scrimmage? Can both of them take that sort of leap?
Yeah, I believe so, and it looks like so. I mean, you think about the Rose Bowl last year, what Justice Haynes was able to do in a limited amount of touches. You could argue he should have got more touches in that game, the way that he just kind of got the offense jump-started. Jim Miller was explosive at times when he got an opportunity as a running back three. He had that touchdown against Georgia in the SEC championship. That was big. So these are two really explosive guys. You're right, they're not as experienced as the guys leaving the room, but the talent is there, and it's hard to deny. So I think you're going to kind of see a co-starter type of thing. I mean, these two guys are taking reps with the ones exclusively. It's kind of a Jam leads one drill, Justice leads the next. Jam's out there with the first series, then starter's still in, Justice out there in the next series. They're head to head right now, and they have a really strong tandem. That's the feel coming out of Tuscaloosa. It's going to be an explosive group. I think you're going to see them utilize pass catching with running backs a little bit more in this offense this year, which is exciting. And I think fans are going to be really pleased with what they see out of those two. So A-Day is going to be the first opportunity for them to kind of showcase that ability. And I think the feeling out of the running back room is going to be pretty positive when we get here on Sunday.
One guy I want to ask you about, go to the back end of the defense, Malachi Moore, huge fan of his, and now he's an old man back there, which in the secondary is always good stuff in college. Just talk about the idea of what they're doing with Malachi Moore, because it's something new for him, kind of, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Malachi Moore is a program staple at this point. He's been one of the few players on Alabama's team that's won a national championship, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. And he is somebody who can play any position. He's been kind of in that slot position the last few years. He's moving back to safety now. And you're right. I mean, it's a completely new look secondary. You think about him being the only returning starter from last year's secondary. So there's some moving parts there. That's going to be a position that Bama's going to address pretty heavily in the portal, I would expect. But he's been a stabilizing force back there, and it is a new defense for him. But Malachi Moore is, you know, somebody who's so smart. Nick Saban talked about it all the time, someone who's been around a lot of football. So he's been able to kind of learn the defense and be able to help everybody feel more comfortable. So that's probably the position of most interest, I would say, going into Saturday from a fan perspective, is what exactly the secondary is going to look like, and then the offensive line will be a close second.
So, Outkast, Notorious B.I.G., Earth, Wind, and Fire, was that on the Nick Saban playlist at practice as well?
Yeah, no. It was a completely different playlist under the Saban regime. But yeah, I mean, I was impressed with the playlist. They've kind of mixed it up. I mean, last practice it was all kind of 90s music. There have been practices where they played rap and country and pop, and it's been a mix. And honestly, it's been something to get used to from everybody's point of view. But it just kind of makes the practice a little bit more lively, and I think that's just kind of something that DeBoer's doing to try to help connect with his players and kind of build a little bit more relationship and kind of make it a little bit more fun. So I'm all for it. I DJ, actually, shameless plug. So I've been out there critiquing the playlist pretty closely, but they've done a good job.
At the Athletic and maybe on the ones and twos in a club near you. Kennington Smith, I appreciate your time, friend.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. So, yeah, that wasn't really Nick Saban's playlist necessarily. He was more Eagles. That's the only, like, the music I knew from Nick Saban was, and we got to know these little snippets. One is that apparently his dad would tan his hide to send a message. I don't know. What is it? The early 60s in West Virginia? It probably happened. Oatmeal cream pies. And he liked the Eagles. And he would watch the Weather Channel to find out if they could practice outside. Like in 2023, he's still sitting down waiting for the Weather Channel to come around to like the Southeast radar to see if they could practice outside. But we did find out that he was a big fan of Eagles music. A little different than what they're playing now.
Yeah, apparently the Rolling Stones and Michael Jackson were also two on the playlist for him. The thing that I always saw, apparently his favorite song ever is Gimme Shelter, by the way, which is interesting. But I always thought the Eagles were the perfect Nick Saban band. Because, Chuck, do you remember what the knock was on the Eagles?
None of them were from California.
Well, I mean, that's true, too. But one of the big knocks people had on the Eagles was the idea, and I guess you could test it out for yourself because they put out a live CD. It was the idea that they weren't spontaneous live in any way. That basically, if you went and heard them play Hotel California live, it was going to sound exactly like it did on the record. There wouldn't be that kind of jam, whatever vibe you were looking for. And in a lot of ways, that's the perfect thing for Saban. Saban doesn't want improvisation. Saban doesn't want somebody to decide on their own, hey, I'm going to hit you with a really cool drum solo. No, he wants it the same way, the right way, the perfect way every time. I always thought that, the Eagles were the perfect band to be Nick Saban's favorite band because of that.
Yeah, there's actually a YouTube clip, and it is a fantastic performance. They're at a rock festival out in California in either 74 or 75, and they play Already Gone. If you don't know, Don Felder's tryout for the band was Glenn Frey saying, hey, we need a guitarist. We don't have any pump in this song. We need somebody to just bring some life to it. Don Felder plugs up, just rips off the intro to Already Gone. They're like, all right, you're in the band. He had to miss the concert. What you're talking about, that sound being so easy to replicate, they had a replacement lead guitarist on the song that was his. And you watch the performance, and it sounds just like the record, except maybe a little faster. And you get to actually see Don Henley's a pretty good drummer. But I think the precision that Glenn Frey and especially Don Henley have become famous for in their construction of, you know, whatever, verse, lyrics, whatever, that probably is a reason for what you're talking about there. And it does make sense with Nick Saban. On the other end of that, if you're ever in a bad mood, can I give everybody a guarantee? And by the way, that buddy of mine said this to me about 20 years ago, and I was like, how can that be? It's right. If you're ever in a bad mood, like you're just Mr. Cranky Pants one day, listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire September. 15 seconds in, you're not in a bad mood anymore. Like, it is impossible to listen to September and still be in a bad mood, I promise you. All right, Kennington Smith, I appreciate his time today. We're going to take a quick break, come back, Rapid Power 1 next.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We figure out who our running backs, who we feel good about at running back. I think maybe the biggest question mark right now is where we're at wide receiver wise, because we've had several injuries.
Sam Pittman talking Hogs ahead of a spring game with Bobby Petrino calling plays. I told you it's year two of the maybe he'll get fired tour. And Petrino, he actually got the first half of the equation right in College Station. Yes, I'm going to be OC for Jimbo because he's going to get fired and I'll be the interim and I'll wow everybody down the stretch and then I'll get the job. And none of that happened except for the first part. Jimbo did get fired. So he correctly identified which potential carry-on to circle. So he did identify like the potential death scene, but he wasn't the pick, and so he just flew east for a little while, and now he's circling over Sam Pittman. Sam Pittman has caused not the female Arkansas fans. No. Sam Pittman has caused male Arkansas fans all kinds of fits. And I'm talking about in the realm of talking sports with fellow dudes, not females, because they don't have this blind spot. When a man declares, well, that's the 11th commandment, and most times there is no going back. When you already gone like 14 miles down this highway and you realize it's actually a state road and now it's a two-lane, there's the reason that men, I know where we're going, you don't, but you've already declared you do. Same thing happens with sports. When Sam Pittman got hired, I knew from whence he came. And I knew that Kirby looked at him and said, this is a big, 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 big deal. Wasn't Sam Pittman one of the first coaches or maybe the first that Kirby hired? And Bielema was all manner of put out. Am I remembering about that, Heath?
Oh, yeah, he was one first. In fact, he's the only time I can ever remember where the deal was that they hired Jim Chaney and then Sam Pittman, and everybody basically from the beginning said, well, you're kind of putting up with the OC to get the offensive line coach and great recruiter in Sam Pittman. Like, Pittman was coming to be with Jim Chaney, and I've never heard of someone ever saying, well, the coordinator, fine, but this position coach, this dude's special.
Yeah, when I heard that Brian Daboll was being hired by Nick Saban, or had been hired by Nick Saban, I didn't know very much about him. I'd heard the name and I'd seen the list of candidates and whatever else. When I saw the bona fides that Bill Belichick hired him twice and Nick Saban just hired him once, I was like, all right, well, he's a good coach. That's good enough for me. Like, what am I going to review this? Nick Saban hired an assistant one time. Now, it was Jeremy Pruitt. But Nick Saban hired an assistant one time. He had a spot open. And then, like, I don't know, a couple of days later, he announced, I hired this guy. He says, blah, 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 and I've hired Jeremy Pruitt. And it was a no-brainer and whatever. And somebody, well, you say you didn't interview other candidates? Nick Saban, it was kind of, I don't know, it was very direct. He said, do you know what a no-brainer means? It means it's a no-brainer. Which, by the way, that was always the Saban tell. He would always ask the general, what do you think this means? And then he would tell, because what it means to me, that was a Saban, like, mechanism for conversation. Did you go to college? Because I went to college and I didn't have enough money. Like, that was Nick Saban. He would always, did you do this? Because I did this. So, Nick Saban, he hired Sam Pittman. He hired Brian Daboll. And when he hired Jeremy Pruitt, he says, no-brainer. What's a no-brainer mean to you? Because to me, a no-brainer is, it's a no-brainer. You don't think about it. You just do it. And that was Jeremy Pruitt. Now, as a coach, he probably is right about Jeremy Pruitt. For everything else, there's a show cause for Jeremy Pruitt. So that's Nick Saban and the commentary that sometimes just a guy saying, I'll employ you, makes. Kirby Smart couldn't hire Sam Pittman fast enough. And there's only so many times I have ever seen a head coach go a little sideways when his staff got raided. Because do you know what every head coach used to be? A position coach. Every single head coach, not a coordinator. Most cases, like Urban was never a coordinator. Dabo wasn't. Don't you look at the guy and see, that was me 6, 7, 8 years ago. Like, that's why you never hear coaches, except with Brett Bielema. He's like, no, I can't lose Sam Pittman. And he wasn't losing him to Sam's alma mater, or I'm going home, or my wife says she wants to live in Florida. Kirby Smart says, I want this guy right now. And if you remember Kirby's introductory press conference in Athens, quote, like, Kirby Smart, and I'm happy to be home. The very next thing out of his mouth was, we got too many little guys. That's a quote, by the way. We got too many little guys. His offensive line, and I've commented in the moment. 2017, I was like, folks, there's no shortcut. This was pre-portal. He got Tyler Catalina, a guy from Rhode Island. That was it. Kirby did the impossible. There's no shortcut to offensive line. There wasn't in 2017. And he found one somehow. It was Sam Pittman. He went out to Arkansas. Arkansas fans declared, I don't like it. The dudes did. And then he went 3-7, and you declared it, see, I told you. Then he went 9-4, and y'all had to backtrack. And those of you who did, now you're going, I've told you from the beginning. So it's been an EKG of declaring and backtracking and declaring again. And now he's got to win, and I don't think he's going to. So there are two spots on that calendar that scream Sam Pittman gets fired this year. Like the first or the end of October, 1st of November, and then about 2 weeks after that. So there are a couple of spots where he's going to get fired, and that stinks because he's a great coach and a really good dude. What's up, Heath?
What's interesting to me is that when you talk about that situation, Chuck, with regards to Arkansas, anybody who says, shouldn't have hired Pittman, if you're saying that, remember who the other candidate was at the time that was being tossed around for the job before Pittman basically jumped in? It was Barry Lunny. And that's one of the things.
That's right. The old quarterback, the OC or play caller, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a guy who had been on staff, a guy who's a familiar name. And that's one of the things to me. If you're a fan base and there's a portion of your fan base that wanted your guy to get the job, and it's been literally years and he's never even come close to getting another job that's a similar job, that should tell you, hey, maybe your judgment isn't right here. If someone's good enough to be an SEC head coach, within 4 years, they should get a head coaching job somewhere else if they were ready to be an SEC head coach. Barry Lunny is actually with Brett Bielema at Illinois, but you get that sometimes where you've got fans that sort of want a certain guy and they convince themselves he's the guy, and you don't get a lot of reexamination later and going back and looking and saying, well, were we really going down the right path here? This is a different sport, but in South Carolina 2 years ago when their basketball job was open up, one of the names that got linked to it was B.J. Mackey, who was a terrific player in South Carolina and is an assistant coach at Wake Forest, but he'd only been an assistant at the ACC level for 1 year in Power 5, period. And there are a bunch of fans, oh, I watched him play. He gets this program. He's a great guy. He should be the guy. Well, it's been 2 more years. The coach that they hired, who they didn't want, has gotten them to the NCAA tournament.
Oh, yes.
And B.J. Mackey is still an assistant coach at Wake Forest. Odds are pretty good in this one. You were backing the wrong horse. You were backing somebody out of emotion, out of a reasonable belief he could be right for your program, but you're not backing him out of the soundest reasons for why he's ready to be an SEC-level head coach.
Brown, Mackey, and who was the third kid for that South Carolina team? Didn't they get upset by, like, Coppin State or somebody in the first round?
Yeah, they got in back-to-back years. They lost to Richmond and to Coppin State with Fang Mitchell as their coach.
Nice. Yeah, there was like a three-guard rotation, and it was
Davis, I believe, is the
Brown, Mackey, and Davis. Yeah, exactly. But you're right about that. And then suddenly, like, the South Carolina, the consolation prize, I saw him at least mentioned for Kentucky.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.